Hello, Chuck and Greg. I'm glad you were able to make it.
Sure.
Look, there's no easy way to say it, but it looks like Technorama's time is near, so please head in and pay your last respects.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yes, thank you. Oh, man, it's not looking good. I never thought it'd end this way.
Wow, I can't believe it's been so long.
The one minute they're there, the next... You never know. It's hard to tell.
We had such a fun time together. It's been 3 years. Wow.
Well, that's it. It's over.
I don't think anything else will match up to it.
Yeah. It's been a fun 3 years. Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, nothing.
Yes, you are. You're tweeting this, aren't you?
No. Okay, maybe.
Oh, man. Jeez.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Wow, you just never know how this is going to end. Are there alternate endings to this?
Over there, in the media corner.
I think this is a dream sequence.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for April 30th, 2008. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic. I feel super.
Do you have an S on your chest? That kind of super?
Yeah, it was an accident with the Sharpie. I was running around here with a red towel earlier.
A visual I clearly did not need.
Oh, I was dressed. Just had the red towel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got the Atari 2600 sliced, diced, and baked. We got roasted chickens and saving the earth at the same time. And a bit of bad news that we have to share with you. All that and more coming up after this.
And all three of those things are not related.
On this day in tech history for April 30th, 2008. This is April 30th. It's the 121st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 245 days remaining till the end of the year. It was on this date in 1006 that supernova SN1006, the brightest supernova in recorded history, appears in the constellation Lupus. Orbital calculations suggest that on this day in 1483, Pluto moved inside Neptune's orbit, lasting until July 23rd, 1503. Spain gives Christopher Columbus his commission of exploration on this date in 1492.
Here's some money, go buy some boats, find a way to India, and try not to run into anything.
It was April 30th, 1803 that the United States purchases the Louisiana Territory from France for $15 million, more than doubling the size of the young nation overnight. Casey Jones dies in a train wreck in Vaughan, Mississippi on this date in 1900 while trying to make up time on the Cannonball Express. April 30th, 1925 also marks the date that the automaker Dodge Brothers Incorporated is sold to Dillon Reed & Company for $146 million plus $50 million in charity. The animated cartoon short Porky's Hare Hunt debuts in movie theaters, introducing Happy Rabbit on this date in 1938. It was that same date that 1 year later that the 1939 New York World's Fair opens. That very same day, RC-owned NBC begins regularly scheduled television service from its New York station with the opening ceremonies of the 1939 World's Fair broadcast.
Television in 1939. Who was watching?
And yes, that same date in 1939, Franklin D. Roosevelt becomes the first president of the United States to appear on television before the World's Fair opening ceremonies broadcast. In Nevada, the Boulder Dam is officially renamed the Hoover Dam again on this date in 1947. It was April 30th, 1993 that the World Wide Web is born at CERN. And that very same date in 1993, Virgin Radio broadcasts for the very first time in the UK. Happy birthday goes out of this date in 1770 to David Thompson, the Canadian explorer. German mathematician Charles Friedrich Gauss was born on this date in 1777. Also sharing the same birthday in 1829, Ferdinand von Hochstetter, the Austrian geologist. Italian physicist Orso Mario Corbino was born on this date in 1876. Hans Liszt, the Austrian inventor, was born today in 1896. American astronaut Michael Smith celebrates his birthday today. He was born in 1945. And finally, Spider-Man's girlfriend, Kirsten Dunst, turns 26 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 30th, 2008.
This is John Chatterton from Deep Sea Detectives. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome back to Technorama. And we've got a couple of follow-up things before we get into the nitty-gritty, ditty, five-bitty...
Yeah, whatever.
Tell us, Craig, what day is Free Comic Book Day this year?
May 3rd. That's this coming Saturday. So if you get this podcast early enough, I wanted to remind everybody that Free Comic Book Day is this Saturday. Take your kids or yourself or your spouse.
Or go to freecomicbookday.com for more information.
Yeah, they'll have places on where you can go. They'll have a list of participating stores in your area. Also, coming up in June, I'm attending the Heroes Con. It's in downtown Charlotte. It's a comic book convention, just like, you know, other ones around the country.
Mm-hmm.
It happens June 20th through the 22nd, so over the weekend. I am going to go on that Friday and try and get some interviews. I'm asking for your help to go to the website at heroesonline.com. You'll see the links all the way to the guest list for the con. And please email me anybody that you think would be interesting and include why I should interview them. And then I'll do my best to try and track them down that day.
You did this last year, didn't you?
I didn't do any interviews because I didn't really get to go that Friday, but that's what I'm planning on, is I'm going to get the three-day pass and go. I work like two blocks down, so I'm just going to walk down and go in and have some fun. Hey, everybody, I belong here. I'm with Technorama.
Kill all humans.
I'm a Cylon.
I thought I saw a two.
Looking at the Technorama listener birthday calendar, we've got April 30th. Happy birthday to Julio Diaz, also known as Julio Tijuana.
Yeah.
May 3rd is K.L. Wright's birthday. Happy birthday. We haven't heard from K.L. in a long time.
I know. Well, I think the last time we heard from her was that she still listened, but...
And she's stateside. That's the last I heard.
Yep. She's on the earth, I hope.
May 5th belongs to Steve Bickle and Joe Mczkowski, host of On the Podcast. Hope I didn't massacre that. I'm not good with Polish names, but I can bluff my way through some of them.
A.K.A. Pseudo Joe, I believe.
Oh, you're right. It is Pseudo Joe. Didn't recognize it here.
I've met him in person. He's cool.
May 6th, happy birthday to Amber Pace. She's not really a listener, but the mother and wife of listeners.
If you ever hear this, happy birthday.
Without your support, they wouldn't be listening. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
May 6th is also the birthday of Billy Barber, or just Bill Barber, as it says here, but I can't read today. Yeah. If it happens to be your birthday this week, happy birthday to you. whether you're on the calendar or not. If you'd like to be on the calendar, you can go to chuckchat.com/wiki and add your name to the Technorama birthday calendar. We'd love to hear from you. If you're around on Sunday nights, feel free to listen to the audio stream live on Ustream or stop by chuckchat.com/webcam. You can see, hear us, and interact with us on the chat room at irc.freenode.net, but there's also a clientless thing, Java thing on that same page. Have fun, be part of the action, stop by, knock yourself out. Try not to get hurt.
Yeah.
But first, the news.
The internet spawns a new gender. This is Technorama News. I'm Chip Querdy reporting. Biotech engineers cite the internet as spawning three distinct sexes, male, female, and email. Email? Ugh, who writes this stuff? This is so unprofessional. I'm so sick of this Technorama News gig. Lenny doesn't bring me coffee anymore. I get no respect here. I'm taking that web job over at CNN. Ugh, I'm out of here. Goodbye.
Chip, no, yeah, no, Chip.
Just deal with it on your own.
Great, he's gone. Cut to commercial. Cut to commercial.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Around the world, everyone's opening the bathroom doors to expose the...
Wash your hands before every email.
Chuck Tomasi's the devil. I like it. Okay. It just feels tacked on. Have you used it, Chuck?
I'm weird. Sorry.
Go.
Go. Craig, I heard that. You were taking a drink and almost lost it. I'm going to get you sooner or later. We're going to hear all over the microphone.
You're right.
Chuck, you owe me a new microphone. Did I ask for this?
Story.
Whoa, Lenny, why are you calling in instead of doing this in person?
Did you guys get my email?
What email?
My letter of resignation.
You're resigning? Why?
I got an offer from another podcast who said they pay me 15% more than you guys.
Can't argue that.
Good luck, Lenny.
Thanks, guys. 101.
Yeah, keep in touch.
Wow, show's like falling apart today, isn't it?
Holy smokes. Well, without Lenny, well... Let's move on to the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Okay.
Over at NASA.gov, we've got Of Moon Dust and Duct Tape. That sounds like a dangerous combination.
Yeah, go over and check it out. Hey, this just proves that duct tape can do anything, or you can do anything with duct tape, because duct tape doesn't really do anything unless you peel it off and apply it.
At this year's Great Moon Buggy Race in Huntsville, Alabama, that's home to Space Camp, isn't it?
I believe so.
Professor Paul Shoo of Christian Brothers University was overheard joking that duct tape was his team's best engineering tool. Others felt the same way. The sound of great tape being torn from rolls practically filled the race course as dozens of college and high school student engineers busily assembled and repaired their homemade moon buggies. Little did they know, this was in the finest tradition of lunar exploration. Turning back the clock 36 years... reveals the key role of duct tape in NASA's Apollo program.
The date was December 11, 1972. Astronauts Gene Cernan and Jack Schmidt had just landed their lunar module, Challenger, in a beautiful mountain-ringed valley named Taurus Littro, on the edge of the Sea of Serenity. Mission planners chose the site for its geological variety. The ground was covered by a mix of giant boulders, hardened lava, orange glass beads, a sign of ancient volcanic fire fountains, and, of course, ubiquitous moon dust. The valley itself was a fractured... created in the aftermath of an asteroid impact billions of years ago. The history of the moon, many suspect, might be written along its walls. Jack Schmidt, the first geologist on the moon, could hardly wait to get started.
Tranquility Bay, this is Houston. Do you have any duct tape up there?
Oh my gosh.
What? That's what it kind of sounded like.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that my cue?
As a matter of fact, We do.
There is a picture of the Apollo 17 mission. You know, the moon buggy they've got up there.
Yeah.
So the moon dust wouldn't kick up. Their fenders weren't quite big enough, so they modified it. They duct taped a piece of paper or something
cardboard
to keep
something.
It from throwing moon dust all over the place.
Yeah. Actually, you know what's funny? If you look at the picture up close, and I'm trying to figure this out, it looks like there's a little piece of metal coming off where they attached the fender with duct tape. But if you look to the side, it looks like there's a clamp or something holding on to the wheel. It doesn't look. It looks like the wheel's flat or got a.
They forgot to pay their parking ticket, and that's
got
the
a boot.
Boot.
We can't get away with nothing, even on the moon.
We're whalers on the moon.
But anyway, so I say it wasn't just for holding planes together. Hold moon buggies too.
Now it's amazing going from the moon to garage sales, rummage sales. It's amazing what you can find at these things.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can find on the moon as well as flea markets. But if you go over here, this is at gism.net. They have a legendary haul from a flea market. And this guy bought some games, he says, for a steal. And there are a list of unreleased game ROMs and assorted knickknacks and stuff that was never released.
He said, when I got home, I noticed that a bunch of the chips said CPK Park Atari. Some said CPK Park 2600 Atari.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I was getting excited. Cabbage Patch Kids Adventures in the Park for Atari 2600. A game which was never finished and never released. What do they mean, never finished? You're walking along, all of a sudden the park ends?
Yeah, Columbus was right, or was wrong. It was flat.
Yeah, so was Flight Simulator 1, yeah. But that's not important right now.
Yeah.
Crud, I flew off the end of the earth.
Yeah, what do? Turn around.
I'm lost.
There's a dragon out here. Ah.
So he found all these proms, and he plugged them into, old boards and started them up? And if this once-in-a-lifetime find wasn't enough, on the way out, I found two Mario diorama figures.
Well, I think the ROMs would have been enough right there.
Kicking the turtle in the chin.
Hey, what's bad is he's kicking the turtle, and the turtle's got his head turned like an impact.
He just did what's called a wheel kick in karate.
Yeah, there you go. That's funny. But yeah, he got a whole stack of ROMs. Just makes you wonder... You know, what else is lurking out there in the wild?
This one came out a few days ago. Happy Earth Day, everyone. Instead of urging you to recycle all those gadgets that will otherwise leak poison into our planet, we'd rather offer you a most positive, less obvious story to whet your Earth Day appetite. Sila Sutharat runs a Thai chicken stand outside of Bangkok. He roasts 50 chickens a day, and he does it completely through the sun. You remember watching Mythbusters when they're trying to make the death ray to set the boat on fire?
Oh, yeah.
That's how this guy's roasting chickens. Giant magnifying glass.
Wow. Actually, that particular episode, they invited these groups that sent in videos that made a quote-unquote death ray to come on the show and kind of compete to see if they could actually make fire from their different inventions. Even though some of them didn't make fire, it would still be hot enough to cook something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Sun-baked chicken.
Thank you, Gizmodo, for that story. Turning over to another one of our favorite websites. In Gadget, we find an Uno electric unicycle that gets a spiffy new body, but it's still terrifying.
Yes,
didn't we cover something like this once before?
We did. I believe there's some Canadian teenagers, two of them, had actually made this... Segway / motorcycle type thing. It was a prototype, and apparently they were hired up pretty quick to make a real one. But you know what? As cool as it looks, I'm not getting on that.
Nope.
No way.
Steering would be interesting.
Well, I'm
balance
sure steering
would
is
be
probably,
even more interesting.
Well, I'm thinking face plant. That's not interesting at all. My luck, that thing would just stop and bend over.
You think
over.
Using the front brake is dangerous on a regular motorcycle?
Yeah. Well, I would think that thing would have to regulate it to be able to stop and stand up. It does have a kickstand on the back. Does that make you feel better?
I think I'd rather try the penny farthing than this thing.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, next time I'm coming out to California, I'm gonna find Matt and go ride his penny farthing.
And from the world of steampunk, we get...
The steampunk Nerf gun.
Well, everybody needs one of those.
Yeah. I mean, you know, come on. Every kid needs one of these, young or small, or old.
Steampunk Nerf rifle. Now, children's warning. If you have children, turn your thing down for about 10 seconds. Steampunk Nerf rifle lets you get Victorian on someone's ass. I just love that line. Okay, you can listen again.
Yeah, that was funny. Uncover their ears and put your hands back on the steering wheel.
Those of you who like steampunk and the clarinet gun mod in particular will love Professor Shagnasty's Model 101 Steampunk Nerf Assault Rifle. Looks amazing and comes with a hollow flex targeting device or plasmatical ejector, manual, and an electron recharging stand. That is to say, a green light and a display stand. Because the masterpiece is just a foam dart firing toy after all. It's based on a Nerf long shot and contains real vintage pieces, including a 19th century gas lamp parts, vintage aircraft bits. It's a one-off, but it's for sale on eBay. Offers over $125 by the look of it, and closing tonight. Well, already closed. Maybe we should look.
Let's go see what it closed at real quick.
Hey, you tell me that.
I tell you what, if I came after my son with this Nerf gun, I might scar him for life.
I like the steam gauge thing that's kind of hanging out there.
Come here, Harrison. Turn the corner with it. And, you know, let's see. Oh, wow. There are some really good pictures on the site. If you click the link, it actually it takes you to eBay. Yeah. But this is an awesome page. Wow. This thing is detailed.
What did it close at?
I'm trying to find it. Hold on. $450.
Nice.
You know what? I know that's a lot of money, but you know what? For this, I think it's well worth it. This is, hey, get this at, it says, yeah, Professor, what'd you say, Squadity? It says Model 101.
Shake Nasty.
Right? It says Model 101 right under his name. That's pretty cool.
101.
Yeah, 101, buddy. Mr. Prof.
These are 101 unsigned integer. Technorama, 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 Technorama. Technorama, Chuck and Craig, 101 high five.
The Technorama, you make me be sedated. The Technorama,
he's Technorama, 101-01-01.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Hot on the heels of cracking open the Osborne 1 and the Radio Shack Trash 84P, we've got cracking open the Atari 2600. Yes, once again, Tech Republic brings us good stuff. We seem to be talking a lot about the 2600. We had those weird ROMs that people found. Well, he opens this up, and once again, it's a cavalcade of great pictures. It's just not every day you get to say, you don't get to say cavalcade every day.
No. But what's cool is how simple this machine is. You know, there's really not much to it.
This is the 6-switch model, and there was also the 4-switch model.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember what the other two switches were for.
High and low power.
Power, TV type, color, black and white. Oh, of course. No, left difficulty, A and B, right difficulty, and a game select and game reset.
Now, there appears to be some slots and sockets in here that still need to be populated. I'm not so sure what that was all about.
Well, some of them may have been for testing and stuff. I don't know I can't remember. You know, I did crack mine open, but it's been a long time.
You did. I've never seen the inside of one of these.
I remember being all careful and ginger because I didn't want to break it, you know?
Mm.
Now I can go to a pawn shop and get them for $5, probably.
And on a similar story, we already covered this one. Someone put the same link in here twice. What's up with that? It's the flea market one, but it's at a different site. No, it's not at a different site. Someone.
Oh.
Who's in the production department?
Wait a minute. This is Atari games you've never heard of. Now, let me tell you. Be warned before you go here. Some of these are a little odd. If you it's Ogizmo. Go there and then follow the link. It says fun from yesterday. And at first, it had me going. I was like, Magna Carta. Okay. Don't remember that one. Aliens and Ghosts, or Aliens versus Ghosts. Don't remember that. But it looks like Space Invaders album art. Then it starts getting a little out there. I think this is a Photoshop thing because it said, every sport ever. 50 video games.
Every sport?
Every sport ever. And then there's the obligatory educational game.
I just love the old 70s font they used to use on the Atari boxes.
Yeah, and whoever did these, made it look
Buzz perfect. Aldrin Space Rainbow Tennis. It's Breakout. They've repackaged the most basic game.
And here you go. This one that says, I'm going to substitute a word here, but it says, it's freaking checkers. Tim Curry's Magic Board, 4 video games. It's like Othello.
Magna Carta.
Yeah. Anyway, go look. Some of these are fun to look at. And it had me going at first, and then you start scrolling down like, oh, these are crap.
Starship Engineering Future Challenge. I'm a Vegas showgirl. Salvador Dali's Pinball Thrills.
Wait a minute, I'm going to take that out and paint that its own little sweeper sometime.
This is great.
I'm a Vegas showgirl.
Terrorists in the year 3000.
Little did they know. No.
Surprisingly literal translation of the box cover art. What?
Oh, okay. Let's move right along, Chuck.
There's just a game called Wrong Button.
Yeah. Wrong button. Hey, here's something I used to do on the Atari. It's like Yar's Revenge or some of those games like that. And I probably shouldn't have been doing this at all. But if you would, I'm trying to remember if it was the power or the reset. One of them, you can kind of flick. You know, I would flick real fast, like just a little wrist motion. And it would kind of trick the game. I don't know if half the game was loaded or something, but the graphics would be all wonky. It would be almost like a different game. Indiana Jones was like that, like the Raiders of the Lost Ark game. Yar's Revenge, I remember. Remember those two specifically? You change it, and like the graphics are all screwed up, but the character's there. You can move around, and it was like a. I kept saying it, calling it a hidden game, but I don't wonder if everybody else had done that.
There were little Easter eggs in those things all the time.
Yeah, well, this was. You know, I'm sure this wasn't intended because I'm flicking the thing on and off. I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just curious.
Maybe
if anybody else had done that.
All right, Dean Jensen has sent us a quiz since we're in the Remember When section. He sent us an Apple II quiz, and then we'll give you the answers a little later in the show. Question number one, what is located?
I told Dean, wait a minute, fair warning, I did not read the answers because he sent them in a separate email.
Yeah.
But I told Dean I would try to answer these on the show.
And how'd you do?
I don't know. I'm waiting for you to deliver them.
Oh, you haven't read the answers yet? Okay, what is located in slot 6, drive 1?
On the Apple.
Yeah.
Memory?
What is located at slot 5, drive 1?
Drive 1? Is he talking about the drive?
Number
the
3.
Floppy drive? No, come on, man.
Yes. Slot 5, drive 1. Okay. That actually means something.
I guess the first two, I don't know.
Number 3, using the system utilities version 3.0, which of the following is not available to work on an entire disk? Which one of these does not work on an entire disk? A, catalog a disk. B, erase a disk. C, duplicate a disk. D, format a disk. E, verify a disk.
D, format.
Number 4, what is a peek?
That's where you read information out of a memory register.
Memory location.
Yes.
Number 5, what is a poke?
That's when you set the value of the memory register.
Number 6, which command is not available from Apple DOS 3.3? A, load. B, be run, C, directory, or D, catalog?
Catalog?
Number 7. What was the big advantage of using ProDOS?
ProDOS?
You think about that one. We'll be right back.
He's pretty smart. If it was you just wanted to hear your sister cry, I'm fine with it. Go ahead. More power to you, man.
There's a monster on there.
Always acts like that. He's this eccentric.
I also think he's pretty full of himself, though.
He has such a vocabulary, it'll make you go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Bizarre.
A decorative vegetable.
If he would freaking rule the world, kill us all.
If a chimp at the zoo flings feces at you, throw some right back. Yep.
This is Future News. I'm Alexis Ren.
Something inside of Stewie's mind from the Family Guy.
It was a good day in the hood.
Of the lipes. Lipus lapash.
He is the Highlander.
Cheese pants.
That's right, giant carnivorous rabbits.
Time without reason.
Telling the snake cult the meaning of life. That I would not die. Got into a knife fight with him.
Wrestling a beaver.
Throwing that guy into a cage with a wolverine.
Not stealing anything from the Titanic.
It's the Nautilus.
Time machine. Ripped a hole in the fabric of time. Almost ended everything.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on either. Subscribe to find out.
To the AD Dude Ramblecast. addude.podbean.com.
Okay, break's over. Let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And in the media corner, the promo you just heard for the AD Dude. Well, the AD Dude sent us this review of the Sarah Jane Chronicles, or Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh, cool.
Next up.
Now to review Sarah Jane Smith adventure, Invasion of the Bane, plus part one of the Revenge of the Slytherin storyline. I like it. It's kind, it's nice, it has that very new Doctor Who feeling. Anyway, I like this episode. It was a strong opener. I liked seeing how the new aliens and the fact were gonna be good. Not cheesy. And I like the name Luke. Anyway, the actors all were great, and I just can't wait to see what else is going on. On the Alexi scale, which starts at -2 and ends at 8, I'm giving them a 7.8. I would have given them a full 8, except the character Kelsey was really annoying. And a quick rundown of the following episode, Revenge of the Slytherin. They bring in a new friend to replace Kelsey, which I can't push enough. Great idea. We get to see a child Slytherin, Carl, both adorable and terrifying, much like my nephews. Anyway, I like the story. I'm gonna give it a 6 right now since it's only half of it. But when I get the whole story, I'm gonna give it a more proper score. Anyway, if you haven't watched it, I liked it. It was a little slow. It had its good moments, but I'm kind of giving it easy grade since it's only part one.
I like that comment about both terrifying and what was it? Reminds me of my nephews.
that was good.
Thank you, Alexis. That was really good. I do like the Sarah Jane Adventures. Have you seen that yet?
I'm working. I got them recorded. No.
The first one was an hour and a half long. The next ones were just 30 minutes, and they left this last week's as a part two. And we went no. That's not a good place to end.
An hour and a half. That's kind of strange, but I guess.
Well, it's a pilot.
Well, I was thinking, you know, in England, they don't have the commercials and stuff. You know, so over here, it'd have been 2 hours.
No, they would have chopped it up. There's a different thing. They take pieces out so it fits our format.
That's what I'm saying is they would have. Well, it's just like any other show. They take 45 minutes and stretch out into a 2 hour show.
True. All right, I have one thing.
Yes.
What the chuck?
What's up with that?
Why doesn't IT have any good cheers?
You mean like drinking songs?
I'm sitting at work, and yes, Technorama runs through my head all the time. I get weird, random thoughts, and I go, that's perfect for the show. Well, this past week, I was helping a guy at my desk. He was having problems getting onto a customer VPN, and I had nothing better to do in my head while the status line was waiting to connect, and I came up with, give me an I. This is a cheer, Craig. You got to respond.
Oh, that's my cue.
That's your cue. Give me an I.
I.
Give me a P.
P.
What do you got? IP.
I got
it just doesn't
one.
Work.
Yeah. It's like saying, hey, spell cup.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's spell say, I cup. Cup.
Yeah, I
can't even get the kids' jokes right.
Oh,
come on.
Man. It didn't work like I planned.
Nikolai will correct you on that one. We're going to get voicemail from the six-year-olds now.
That was so funny. My dinosaur ate it. No, I meant it.
That's my what the chuck. We don't have any good cheers. I'm sorry. Everything's in acronyms, and you really can't do that very well.
I meant that's so old. My dinosaur ate it. Okay, there you go. Sorry.
All right. Can we take another quick break? Real quick.
Sure.
All right. I got to find the real quick break. Here it is. Are you going to sit inside scared of that terrorist might attack your city? Or are you going to go out and live your life? Look, up in the sky. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Hey, we've got our own superhero in the studio. We have Steve Murawski.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a police officer. I'm a guy who's read a lot of law.
Oh, my goodness.
I've read a lot of legal opinions, and I've read a lot of case law.
You know, he's a bodybuilder. He carries around like a collapsible baton.
Pepper spray, oleo, resin, capsicum, handcuffs, and the radio.
He's got some interesting gadgets on him.
I'm a member of our police auxiliary.
He looks like a human bullet here. Kind of a cross between Batman and the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz.
There's one little interesting bit here. A shoplifter came running past me, and I managed to throw him to the ground.
I was intimidated by this guy. I was fearful for my life.
You don't want to mess around with a Marine and martial artist.
When you're talking about use of force, if I go and just walk up to somebody and break their kneecap, possibly something more severe, I'm covered by the city for liability.
It looks kind of like he's spoiling for a fight.
Somewhere in the realm of disorderly conduct.
You're not going out in that, are you?
Does it have a rainbow on the front or anything?
How many times have you heard that?
Then I'm in trouble.
Terrific.
Your opinion of that is based on what you just saw.
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, and Myth Confirmed, you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Unexpected video game shoots to the top of the charts. This is Technorama News. I'm Jack Ethernay, sitting in for Chip QWERTY, who is out trying to roll over his retirement fund to CNN. Good luck with that, Chip. Upstart German video company, far from grooving, came out with their entry into the video console market last week, which shot to the top of the charts. Available for PS3, Xbox 360, and Wii, it seems nobody can get enough of accordion hero Legends of Polka. Technorama caught up with Far From Groovin' President and CEO, Fritz Sitzenschmitz.
We were just sitting around thinking of ways to make the accordion more popular when we call up Craig Stepp from Technorama to hack a V-mode. Now every day can be like Oktoberfest.
Sitzenschmitz said his company is looking for a follow-up by partnering with Australian software maker Ab Original on Didgeridoo Hero. Jack Ethernay for Technorama News.
Hey, Steve Murawski, the superhero from The Sweeper, he now has his own podcast. He's put together one on PowerShell.
Really?
Yeah. PowerShell. I saw a Twitter message go by and he said, episode number one is out.
Huh.
That's kind of cool.
On PowerShell, really?
Yeah, give him a listen. You know what PowerShell is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell the listener then.
That's that Microsoft thing.
It's their
scripting language.
Yeah, it's a new scripting language.
Mm-hmm.
Better than a batch file. Stronger than a Unix script. Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's PowerShell. Well,
isn't it? That's the one they tried to make it more English centric, right?
You mean like UK British English?
That kind of English. you know, where you use not complete sentences, but more more prose than you do actually coding. Isn't that right?
I'm sorry. I just went on to the next story, and there is the dorkiest looking picture.
All right, I'll talk about the PowerShell later. Hey, when I saw this, I had to say something about it.
BigBenToyStore.com has
the Dalek, whatever you want to say it, voice changing helmet. All right. It looks just like a Dalek.
You put this on, and it looks like a Dalek, you know, with the blue eyepiece hey, and the light up. Ear probes, whatever you want to call them, but there's a picture of somebody wearing this, and they just look like a total retard. Well,
you know, by itself, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then you look at somebody with it on their head; it looks like they got a bucket on.
That's what I was cracking.
Hey, all you need to complete the set is hold a plunger in your hand.
What are you gonna do? Sucker me to death? They want $75 for this pre-order, sold out. Oh man, there's gonna be a lot of bucket heads.
That is funny. Go, if you do anything, go visit.
Exterminate! Exterminate!
If you do anything, go visit this link just to get a kick out of that picture.
Oh, you know that was the best.
Next time I think somebody's breaking in the house and I have to go downstairs to investigate, I'm putting this on.
I'm Robin Leach. Welcome to Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. We've got a $300,000 watch that doesn't even tell time.
But it sure does look nice.
According to the Wall Street Journal, a $300,000 watch, luxury. A $300,000 watch that doesn't tell time and that sells out, pure genius. Yes. According to several news reports
What? That's bottled water.
Pure genius. According to several news reports flagged by my friends at Luxus, Swiss watchmaker Romain Jerome just launched the day and night watch. The watch won't tell you what time it is. That's so yesterday. But it does tell you whether it's day or night. That's helpful, I guess, for billionaire types who can't afford windows.
Take those expensive sunglasses off and just look out the window.
And as the company's website boasts, with no display for the hours, minutes, or seconds, the day and night watch offers a new way of measuring time, splitting the universe of time into two fundamentally opposing sections, day versus night. Yeah, that's kind of the way the Bible started out, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hey, what's funny is we're making fun of this article. It's in the Wall Street Journal. There's probably somebody reading this going, this is great. I'm buying this sucker.
Little did we know, 3 years later, we'd be reading articles out of the Wall Street Journal.
Oh my gosh, we're in the toilet now.
My respect for the Wall Street Journal has gone down.
Yeah. Oh boy. Hey,
it's down 10 points.
Yeah, it's down 10 points. Now, just on your word alone. This next article, now, I got to tell you, in some ways, I can be a fan of tattoos. Mm-hmm. Some of them really look cool, and they're not really for me. I don't have any tattoos. My brother does, and he's got some pretty cool ones. But anyway, I can appreciate good art. Well, if you look at this one, this guy looks like his skin's being ripped apart.
And underneath
is Spider-Man's costume, just like from the movie. It looks good. And he's got the same kind of theme on his arm where his skin's being ripped off. And there's like little shreds of it sitting there. But underneath, you can see coming out as the Spider-Man costume. It looks fantastic.
That must have hurt.
Now, I got to say this. Now, this article led me to the gallery that this actually came from. Now, go to this gallery. Be warned that there is some not safe for work artwork in here. But right below the Spider-Man is probably a tattoo if I ever was to get one, would be M.C. Escher's, you know, the hand holding the sphere.
Oh, yeah.
Always said that would probably be what I got. I think I mentioned that in the show. Anyway, there you go.
If you had a bald head?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't get it on my head, but yes. And I won't talk about the ones that aren't safe for work, actually. But there's one that says Slurpee. It has a little picture of a Slurpee. And the ones that, I don't know why these people would tattoo some of the stuff on their bodies, but... Did you look through the gallery?
Yes.
I'm like, why would you permanently put this on your body. Anyway, go check it out if you so desire. One guy had a HTML body, and then P align left, P align right, P align center, div, body, HTML.
I kind of like the guy that has the you know, the skull tattooed on his skull, but half the skull is missing, so you can see his brain. That's something that I would do. You know, instead of the Spider-Man thing, I'd have like muscles tattooed on the outside, so it looked like I had no skin.
So next year at the expo, I won't recognize you.
Wait. He needs the HTML head tag up by his head, and he needs the tail tag down by his butt.
I guess he didn't want his head shaved, so it's close. He got it on his neck.
He's got body. He needs head and tail.
Now, am I right though? The ones that say not safe for work. Why would you put that on your body?
Only if it was in a discreet place.
That's weird ones. There's some weird ones, but there's some cool. Oh, okay. The Ron Burgundy one at the bottom. There's no way I would put that on my body. I did not like Ron Burgundy that much. You know the
which one?
The Anchorman.
Oh. That's pathetic.
Anyway, go check them out.
Good stuff for the Geek Library.
Yep.
And the answers to our Apple II questions. Question one, what is located in slot 6, drive 1? The answer is the first 5 1/4 inch floppy drive.
Oh.
Did you get it right?
Oh,
you
didn't get it right. Thank you.
What is located at slot 5, drive 1?
And the 3.5 inch. I see that now.
Number three, using the System Utilities version 3.0, which of the following is not available to work on an entire disk?
Oh, I thought format. It was actually erase a disk.
Yeah, because you can format a whole disk. It says format disk. Okay, but it says erase disk. No, you don't actually erase disk. You format a disk.
What's the difference?
Okay, number four, what is a peak?
A way to look at a memory location.
What is a poke?
And that was to set the memory location to a certain value.
And he writes in here, for real trip back.
I lived in the Commodore era. Those were very close. Peaks and pokes.
Yeah. Those are very close.
Yes.
And he says, for a real trip back, go to myoldmac.net, FAQ, /Apple-2 under peak, under poke, under call.html. And it will show you some real cool memory locations that you can go to. I remember a lot of those. Mm-hmm. Call -151 puts you into the machine language debugger.
Yeah, that's like hey, it's like that website we were talking about. I own the number 49152. It's a popular memory location.
Number six, which command is not available from Apple DOS 3.3?
Oh, I got that one right. It said directory.
Yeah, that's an old DOS command, not an old PC DOS command. Right. Number seven, what is the big advantage of using ProDOS?
Subdirectories and accessing the hard drives.
That's right.
You know, I was thinking hard drives because, you know, what came to mind was the hard card thing. Or not hypercard. Was it the hypercard?
Hypercard was an application.
The first little hard drives.
The hard card was the hard drive in a slot.
Yeah, but Apple had the hypercard? Wasn't that what that was?
That was an application.
No, what am I thinking of? They also had a hard drive on a card.
Plus made the hard card.
Yes, I remember those very well. I installed a billion of those. But okay. I was trying to think. Apple had one, too. Anyway.
We're running out of time. We got to wind this down. We do have one final announcement.
Yes.
It's been 3 years of Technorama, and we want to thank everyone for making it all so much fun. However, all good things must come to an end, and we have to announce that we're ending the weekly Technorama show and feedback show, with the exception of you're welcome to feedback on this, show how much you love us, and all that kind of good stuff. But there won't be any more like this. Insofar as we know, we will still be doing specials, audio tours, interviews, that kind of thing. But the weekly Technorama show and feedback show are done. Number of factors come into this. First and foremost is that our families come first, and that's all I got to say is I can't invest enough time in the family right now. The a lot of other factors, but that one is the first and foremost. I gotta take a little side trip down here. That you're a programmer, right?
Yeah.
And you've played Mousetrap, right?
Yeah.
I played Mousetrap for the first time front to back, and as I started, I've always had bits and pieces or caught people playing it and whatnot. I understand the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually got a chance to sit down and play it this last weekend with Lisa. Great time. Love playing it. She and I are having a great time. And as we put in the first couple pieces, I start turning the crank and watching the gear go. And she says, Dad, no, you're not supposed to do that. I said, yes, I do, Lisa. I'm unit testing. That's just the way I am. I got to test each component as it goes in before I do the system level testing at the end to catch the mouse.
Are you like... I mean, like taking the gold coin, biting it, you know, making sure it's good.
Like I said, we will still be doing the specials, the interviews, the audio tours as they come up. Can't promise a regular schedule. Please stay subscribed to this feed for the odd bits we come up with. We may just throw a Jack Ethernay at you from time and again, or check in to see how you're doing. And we've got other things coming up. So stay subscribed. Yep. We really appreciate all the love we've had. But this is time to close the regular weekly Technorama chapter in our lives. I know this is a bit of a shocker. You could have got a clue from the intro. Chip QWERTY was leaving.
Yeah.
Lenny got a new job. It kind of all falls into place.
And I do want to say one other thing. I want to put a big asterisk on it because, like I said, I've still got interviews. We got audio tours that haven't been produced yet.
Oh, yeah.
And I've also got interviews still scheduled to be... to be produced. So the feed Technorama itself is still together. We'll still be doing stuff.
And the website will still be going. Marv has agreed to continue contributing his odd bits that he finds there. Craig and I will likely contribute more to the website.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be easier for us to, you know, grab these things and throw them in the blog. Yep. But Sunday nights will once again belong to our families. So that's going to take us to the end. Thank you once again for everybody. I don't know how to say it, but it's just been a great ride. Couldn't have asked for more. The show's been fun. We always ask you to tell a friend about Technorama, and we ask you to continue doing that because it is fun, and again, we will be coming out with more stuff.
I do want to say that over the course of the 3 years, it's been a pleasure working with Chuck, talking to him every week.
Thank you. This really is a partnership.
Yes. And talking to all of our listeners every week, it's been a pleasure, and of course we'll be still floating around the podcasting ether, so we're not going anywhere.
It's a community. The community will live on. We just won't have this stake in the ground to rally around. Wow, that rhymes.
Yep.
Okay, give us the final one here, buddy. Binary high five.
101.
So, Craig, where did you get the name for Technorama?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I do.
Well, actually, I came up with a name. It was after my dog.
You named your dog Technorama.
It's a long story. Yeah.
Maybe this is a dream sequence after all.